Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And taking away Duff McKagan with a patented Duff McKagan joke of the week.
It's Jericho. Hope you're doing well. Hope everybody's doing well there. Duff McKagan calling. Listen, my neighbors thought I had Tina Turner had moved into my spare room. But, you know, she was simply the guest. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Oh, wow. Ask your parents about Tina Turner if you don't know that one. Or Google her. Luckily, we know that Duff is going to kill it, along with the rest of Guns N' Roses at Welcome to Rockville, May 21st in Daytona Beach, Florida. Then they're headed to Europe and South America for the summer. It's a great show. If you've seen them, you should see them if you have the chance, for sure. You still have a couple chances left to see Fozzy as well. The Save the World Tour, this leg is a few dates left. Friday night in Denver, Colorado at the Oriental Theater. Saturday at Wichita, Kansas at Temple Live. Sunday, Fort Smith Temple Live. Sauge, Illinois, Pops, St. Louis, Monday. And that is it for the Save the World Tour, this leg. So get your tickets and VIP meet and greets now at FozzyRock.com. It's the best meet and greet in the business, by the way. We play a mini set for you, some of the songs you won't hear later on in the show. And also, don't forget to book your cabin for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at C4 Leaf Clover. We're now setting sail February 2nd, 2023. We got a great lineup of talent joining us. For the first time ever, we're going to Grand Stirrup Cay, our very own private island. Come experience the vacation of a lifetime. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And the rock and roll continues today, because today is the day that music fans thought they would never see, the release of the very anticipated, long-awaited, and sure to be critically acclaimed first ever album from the most influential punk band in music history, Max Creeps. Nine has finally arrived, but don't call it a debut album, and you'll find out why in just a few minutes, because in even more exciting news, I've got Max Blastic and PC Bullshit. That's right, Max Creeps on the show today. The duos walk us through their story from their first meeting at David Bowie's famous 1973 show at the Hammersmith Odeon, to their unfortunate falling out and breakup, to their surprise reunion just hours later. You'll hear what led to the breakup. It was huge news just a few months ago. How some of the musicians most influenced by Max Creeps were able to bring them back together. Max and PC share their songwriting process, take us through some of the songs on Nine, and explain how it felt to hear some of their original song ideas from back in the 70s, stolen and recorded by the likes of the Sex Pistols, The Clash, even The Germs. They've influenced everyone from Slash to Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day, Henry Rollins, and even myself and Fozzy. If you ever want more Max Creeps after this episode, then check out the big streaming event tonight, Max Creeps Night Flight Special on the Night Flight Plus streaming channel. Original Night Flight narrator Pat Prescott is hosting the special, which features unseen clips and music videos from Max Creeps. The fun starts tonight, Friday, May 13th at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. All right, we're celebrating Max Creeps, the release of Nine, and tonight's big streaming event, Max Creeps Night Flight Special, PC Bullshit and Max Blastic. Max Creeps, the most influential band in punk rock history, are here today on Talk is Jericho.
This has been just a monumental day for me. I have here on Talk is Jericho possibly the biggest guests ever in the history of the show. And we're over 850 episodes, guys. I've got Max Blastic and PC Bullshit from Max Creeps. What a whirlwind of emotions you have put us through over the last few weeks, guys. First of all, announcing your demise after 40 years.
That's his fault right there.
No. It's PC's fault?
My fault.
Yeah, your fault. It's your fault about the breakup.
No.
And I'm the one that
you wouldn't pay the gas bill.
You're full of gas, not me.
So this is the story that we've been telling, because there's a lot of people asking questions. I mean, when I posted about this, my wife was like, who the hell are the Max Creeps? I was like, stop right there. Don't you ever ask that question again. One of the most influential bands from the punk scene for many, many years. You keep mentioning the gas bill. One of the reasons why, after all the amazing music and the whole basically recreating the social aspect of what punk rock is, you broke up because of the gas bill. Let's just get to that right now and get into it.
I don't want to toot our own horn, speaking of gas and tooting Max. But Chris Jericho, we invented punk rock. Not to toot our own horn. But you're right. The biggest guest you've had on the show, probably for sure. Max?
It would be sort of King Toot Uncommon.
Well played.
That's what I would say about the gas bill, is when it showed up, it was high.
$226. And, he said his half of that would be $60.
$16.
Half of 226 is not 60. Half of 226 is 150.
I went in your room and I smelled more than half a gas bill when I went by your room. So that, by my precise calculations, should be about the right amount. But, you know, we were able to get behind that. You know, that's in the past. The gas has passed, and we're back.
But that was the reason why you guys broke up, because of this gas bill, after 40 years of punk rock royalty and history that you made?
I mean, it's complicated.
I can tell it's still quite a touchy subject here. So the point being, you broke up. People were talking. I mean, Slash of Guns N' Roses was despondent. Henry Rollins, Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, Chris Jericho. You had a lot of people in tears. Tears, PC. Literal crying when I read the announcement that you had broken up.
Well, I guess due to overwhelming demand, after we announced our breakup last Sunday, two Sundays ago, we had a little talk, Max and I. And also we went viral in that time. That's a new thing, to being viral. We record on tape. We're old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can teach all the new school kids how to do it. But to go viral in this new, what is it? Social media? Is that what it is, Max?
Social media is the name of it. Yes, that's correct.
Viral?
That's what they said. They told
viral.
Us
viral. Viral.
Okay. It's called viral.
So we went from millions of fans to billions of fans.
That's a lot.
Billions upon billions.
So here we are.
Due to overwhelming demand from all of the social media viralility that you got, if that is a word.
Yeah.
Because it was very quick, a quick turnover, only 2 days. And then you decided to come back with a vengeance.
The vengeance was always there.
Hmm. So then he just came back.
Sure.
Yeah.
The vengeance was implied. I gotcha.
The vengeance was there. We just turned up the heat. We got this new stove. It doesn't run on gas anymore. It's got a new kind of burner.
That's a good
and
point.
It's better for the environment. And we just turned that on high and moved it forward from the back burner to the front burner.
Very smart. Just got rid of the gas altogether. Gas is a dirty word amongst the creeps. We shan't mention that again.
Yeah. That's good. That's good to just leave that in the past. We got a new stove, got some new burners. The gas has been disconnected on the behest of the gas company.
As they do.
And we put out a record.
And then we put out a record.
And then you're ready to put out the new record, which is called 9. And that's not 9 as in the number 9. That'd be 9 as the German nomenclature, which of course means no. Very clever, which I like.
And in fact, on the album, you will find 9 songs.
Oh, see what you did there. That's great.
What do we do?
What do you do? You recorded the record is what you did. And now you have
to play it. Okay.
Now you play the record.
Hey, yeah. Woo. Yes, we did.
Yes. Now you go out on tour and play the record, but let's talk about the record because this, once again, I want to talk all about the past and the history of this band. Cause a lot of people are going, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Who the fuck are you talking to? And once again, I'll say that Max Creeps, one of the greatest punk rock bands of all time, very underground punk rock band, which is why most people haven't heard of them. This is not the Clash or the Sex Pistols or the Ramones, but they did influence those bands. Isn't that correct, PC?
The story is, you know, we met back in 73 at a Bowie show in London.
Wow.
We took a cattle boat, working cattle boat, back to Seattle, Washington. Didn't even go through the Panama Canal. Went down around it.
You just went all the way around the continent to get back to Seattle.
Yeah, we worked on it. We worked on the cattle boat.
And what exactly do you do on a working cattle boat at sea? What exactly are your tasks that you have to do?
You know, a lot of throwing up, to be honest with you. Hay, a lot of cow poo.
Mm.
You got to deal with the cow pies. You got to throw it overboard. Back then, you could throw things overboard. Nobody was saying.
Yeah. Especially cow waste. You could throw it over. There wasn't any kind of issues with the environment or anything like there is now.
Well, you can still do it. You can still work on a. You can work yourself back from Europe on a cattle. But never mind that. We got back. We wrote about 100 songs. We didn't have any guitars with us or anything.
But we did have an endless supply of yellow legal pads and Sharpies.
Mm.
Right.
Those were in high supply on the boat that trip. There was no guitar. So we made up our own musical notation to remember these songs by.
Oh.
And that was pretty cool. That's for another time. I wonder where those legal pads are now.
Do you know how much they would be worth? How much people would pay for those if you could find them somewhere? You should look in the shelf behind you, Max Plastic. You might have them in the bookcase over there somewhere, perchance.
So anyhow, we got back to Seattle. Somebody tipped us off to go down to Hollywood, which we did in 1975. And we started playing basically what became a 52-night-in-a-row residency at The Mask.
The Mask. And that's Mask spelled Q-U-E, correct?
What other way can you spell Mask?
Well, you put a K on it. M-A-S-K is one way of spelling
that
it.
That doesn't make any sense.
M-S-K. Yeah, that's how I spell Mask.
Okay. But this club was M-A-S-Q-U-E, I believe, down on Sunset and Doheny, I think is where it was at the time.
Yeah. Okay, smarty pants. You know.
I know my L.A. geography. Sorry. I'm not trying to show off or anything, but please go ahead.
It seemed like you were showing off a little bit.
It kind of was a little. I'm a little bit nervous. Like I said, I'm trying to impress you guys, you know?
Where was I? 52 Nights, The Mask. Lines around the block, Chris Jericho, every night. We were touted. By the end of the second week, we were being touted by the Hollywood elite.
Wow.
Paul Lynde from Hollywood Squares.
Of course.
Charo. Rip Torn.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
What a partier he was.
Yeah.
Amazing. I heard Isaac from the Love Boat was involved as well. He was hanging around down there. Seedy character he was.
Everybody. Max, I'm just going to tell our story. Okay?
Oh, okay. I'll listen.
Can I just interject one thing here? Yeah. I heard, and you can tell me if this is true or not, that remember Kiss's coming out party was on the Paul Lynde Halloween special in 1976. I heard the original plan was for Max Creeps was supposed to be on the Paul Lynde Halloween special. Didn't happen. Is that true?
I mean,
this is where you answer the question. I know it's been a while, but think about it. Is this true or what?
Yeah.
So you're telling me it was true. That's what I heard.
All true. Well, there's some legal problems involved in telling the truth at times. Some of the things that happened during those years are still under the microscope of the lawyer team, and they tell us, if we want to stand any chance of recouping any of the funds we think we are owed. We need to, I think they told me it was a gag order. And that's usually what I get down at the hamburger place, is a gag order, because it, well, for obvious reasons. But in this case, there's some things we shouldn't talk about. So I'll just give you a nod and an IIRC.
Gotcha.
Max, you can't nod on it. This is the radio.
This is all. Yeah, this is a podcast. But basically what you're saying is there's a lot of legal issues still withstanding some 45 odd years later. You can't really say much, but some of the rumors are true. So we get it.
Oh, well, the rumors are true.
Gotcha. Okay.
Pretty much any rumor you may have heard about Max Creeps, probably true.
Okay.
52 Nights of the Mask, touted by Hollywood. You know, we might have fallen into some of the bad habits of 1975 Hollywood. We were going to a party one night at Charo's. We ended up in this place with like green walls, bright lights. There was no bar there. It wasn't Charo's house.
Oh.
It was what we came to find out, Betty Ford Clinic.
Oh. It was an intervention. Charo led you for an intervention, basically, is what happened.
Can't really.
Somebody sold us up the river.
Up the river. Max, do you know that I met Charo when I was 10 years old, and she said that I was handsome? That's a true story. Just a little tidbit there for you guys.
Yeah, be careful with that one. You know, because she can lead you to places you might not wish you were going.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So Charo, unbeknownst to the two of you, into an intervention into the Betty Ford Clinic. Checked you in, Rehab City.
BFC.
Yeah. BFC.
The Betty Ford Clinic. I get it. The BFC.
Yeah, that's one of our songs. BFC.
Oh, okay.
Now it's not on the album. We haven't we didn't get a good record on it yet. But you know, it was from back in. It was written in rehab days. Probably it might be on Max Creeps 2, which will have been
our first record.
Yeah, first record. Yeah, yeah.
You've recorded your second record first.
Right.
And you're going to do your debut album in a year or two.
It'll be Max Creeps 2, but it's actually Max Creeps, the debut album. So maybe we'll just leave the two off and make good.
Makes perfect sense. So how long were you in the Betty Ford Clinic? And this is, what is it? Are you talking pills, amphetamines, Special K, heroin, alcohol?
No, we didn't get any of that stuff there.
Well, it's because it's a rehab clinic, Max. They don't give you drugs and alcohol in rehab. They want to make you stop doing drugs and alcohol, which is why it's called rehab.
I don't understand. I guess I didn't then either. So,
well, yeah, so that's the reason why.
So next question.
So the question I'm asking is so what happens when you get out of Betty Ford? Because obviously I'm not going to ask you how long you're in for, because you have no fucking idea. But when you get out, the whole landscape has changed. The world has changed, has moved on. Past the Max Creeps, what happens? Where were you guys at when you got out of rehab?
Right on the corner outside the BFC. That's where we were, and that's where we stayed for some time.
Granted, you answered the question. I can't even be mad about that. You answered the question. PC, as far as your what happened to the band?
Right.
Max Creeps and all the great music. 52 sold-out nights at the Mask, touted by Hollywood. That's touted. That's bigger than anything else.
Yeah.
And now you get out, and what happens when you get out of rehab?
Well, we get out of rehab. Like Max said, we stayed on the corner there for a while. And then we go back into Hollywood. We hear about these bands, the Sex Pistols. We're like, hey, that song, that's our song. We hear the Clash. Those are our songs. We hear the Damned. We hear the Germs. I mean, Pat Smear was one of the early fans at the Mats. Like, okay, we got you, Pat Smear. We hear that riff for No God. They called it punk rock. You know what it was? It was Max Creep's rock. All those songs were ours. They had recorded us with microphones and a cassette tape at the Mask and then just stole our songs because we were, I think it was a conspiracy that Charles may have been in.
Wow.
We've been in a sort of litigious, is what they call that, with all these groups. We may have lost hundreds of dollars in royalties that we're trying to regain.
So let me just kind of talk about this in a little bit more detail. And this does make sense because I vividly remember seeing Charo on the Love Boat and she's wearing a Max Creep bracelet. If you can see it, as plain as day. It's her and Steve Lawrence, that famous episode, which is the second Love Boat reference on the show today, which is
Steve Lawrence was around.
Wouldn't surprise me. That son of a bitch. He owes me some money too.
Does he?
$30. Yeah. I was at the Copa with him about 5 years ago. $30. That old bastard owes me.
Wow.
Coming for you, Lawrence.
Come.
If I ever see you again, man. So what you're saying though is that you wrote these songs that The Clash, Rock the Casbah, or London Calling, Anarchy in the UK. These are songs that you originally wrote and they stole them from you? Is that where you're going with this from your 52 stint residency at The Mask with the Q?
Max.
Well, there's a few words changed. You know, I would have to go back to those yellow notepads to double check. That's why the litigiousness is still there. Because the one, I remember the one we had, it was about Michael Landon. And it was called Michael Landon Calling, you know, on the phone.
Oh.
And I think that's what it was. I might have changed a couple notes, you know, here and there, but it's just the thing was the same. And that's why the litigious and the gag order and all the problems. And one of these days, maybe we'll record the versions that we had made originally, and we can put them out on a bootleg cassette or something, and people finally hear that they were us first. Jamie Jones, I think, was our song. New Rays,
yeah,
right.
We had limbs, which they turned into bodies.
Yeah. And you know, but the music same, lyrics same. Just a couple letters were changed. See. The scheme of things these days, you take somebody else's song and you change one letter in it and call it your own. Now, is that fair? Maybe it's fair. Maybe it's not. They say we just got to be patient. That's for the litigious people to decide. But it's been a long time. That's been decades. We've been waiting for, you know, our money. And we thought that if nothing else, the money would pay the gas bill and you know, blah, 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 all that. It all comes back to that. But, you know, $262 goes a long way these days, doesn't it?
$266, I believe it was. But who's counting?
Right.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy because at Airs Tokyo in Japan, there was it's a famous bootleg DVD shop. And I did get, it's called the Barf at the Moon Sessions. It was taken from one of those Mask residency shows. Someone filmed it on a Super 8 recorder.
Oh.
And I vividly remember Jim Neighbors was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when you guys wrote, Should I Stay or Should I Gomer?
Yeah.
Little did we know that the fucking Clash comes and what did they change it to? Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Yeah, yeah. And that was a big song for them. So would that, you know, over the last years, would that have helped pay for the gas bill and eased all our problems internally? You know, Barf at the Moon, of course. That was another one. Maybe we could have paid that gas bill twice over if we would have been properly credited for that back in that day.
A few times, I think.
I would say so. You know, but it's just, people say, oh, it's just one letter. But then people say, well, it's just one letter. And then people say, it's just one letter. So how are we to decide? But that's why the gag order. But I'm about ready to say I'm through with the gag order. And it's time to just, hold on. I don't feel very good.
Did you just puke?
Wow. I think it's about time to dispense with the gag order. And
yes, now's the time. Tell your story.
Let the cards fall as they may. Yes, we made up Barf at the Moon. I cannot lie. We composed Barf at the Moon. You know, we sang those songs. We sang Jamie Jones. We sang Limbs.
That's pretty cheeky for them to just take it and turn it to bodies. I mean, come on, guys.
Sam, I'm not an animal. Limbs, I'm not an animal.
I want to ask you guys, so once you kind of get hip to this, that now these bands are basically ripping off your songs, changing just one letter, but they're getting away with it. These thieves, these heathens, these mongrels. How is it for you guys? Was it lean times? Then, you know, we're hitting the 80s. Punk rock is kind of out of fashion. And Max Creeps is kind of out of fashion. Obviously, you had your worldwide fan base that was still pulling for you. But what did you guys do in that time frame? It's been a long time. 40 years, a long time for no activity.
We were still big in Sardinia and Malta.
Okay.
And the Rock of Gibraltar. All kind of our little triangle there. Max Creeps. So we took some time down there. Worked on what was to become our second record, which is the first record we put out here.
Nine. I actually heard that you guys were so big in the Rock of Gibraltar that they actually changed the name of the country for a few months to the Punk of Gibraltar. I don't know if that's true or not. Once again, a lot of rumors going around circulating. I read that in Cream magazine.
Oh, it was in Cream.
Yeah.
They never tell any lies in Cream.
No. They're straight up.
They're straight up.
Straight up.
Straight up with Cream.
Cream magazine, straight up.
So what kind of led to the resurgence then? Like you said, we know the gas bill caused the breakup. But prior to that, there was a buzz. About a lot of Max Creeps fans coming out of the woodwork. Like I said, I mean, Slash, he ain't no dummy. He knows what's up.
Right.
Obviously, one of the initial inspirations for Guns N' Roses when Slash and Axl first met Duff McKagan. And that motherfucker, if I ever see that guy on the street, I got a problem with him too. But that's a whole other thing. Was the Max Creeps. Guns N' Roses sound kind of comes from the Max Creeps in a lot of ways, especially when you're talking about Move to the City and that sort of era, early Live Like a Suicide.
You know, I mean, everybody wants to say we influenced them now. That's the cool thing to say.
Right.
When we actually did. But, you know, people, like you said, wouldn't want to say that, wouldn't want to admit it. I don't know why. I guess we're in favor now. We don't really care. We just, you know, we're going to write more songs. We're going to tour. We're doing nine nights at the River Plate Stadium in Buenos Aires, which is 80,000 a night.
That's huge.
Pretty big. Pretty good for us.
Pretty good.
So what's it going to be like to get back to that level of prominence again? I mean, River Plate, one of the greatest DVDs of all time, is AC/DC live at the River Plate. And anybody knows one thing about Max Creeps is that your fan base is three times as crazy as the AC/DC fan base. They might tear that whole stadium down when you play nine nights at the River Plate.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen? That's going to be our whole tour. It's the nine nights down in Buenos Aires. So if you want to see us, you know, start looking at airfares. We're going to play August 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Nine!
That's great. Did you ever have any thoughts of playing on September 9th, which would be 9-9-9? Maybe you could do that the Hollywood Bowl.
Hollywood Bowl?
Maybe.
Do your nine nights at the Hollywood Bowl as well.
Well, you wouldn't even have to do nine nights. You just do September 9th. 9-9-9.
I'm confused. About that.
I'll call your publicist. It's a great idea.
Okay.
The merch you guys will sell will go through the roof.
Maybe we can get an opening band on that show too. 999.
Oh yeah.
They would be kind of like a reverse satanic band.
Yeah, for sure. Very apropos as well, if I do say so myself.
Let me ask you guys a question. There's some rumors going on around here. I actually heard that Max Creeps is interested in acquiring the majority share of Twitter.
We're going to announce that tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's correct. There's been a lot made about Elon Musk and then, the other, whatever they are. So Max and I put our heads together. Since we have the billions of fans now, we figured we'll monetize that somehow. We're not sure yet how, but we're going to make a bid tomorrow for Takeover Twitter.
I just do what they say. Let me level with you. I don't even know what Twitter was.
Well, you own it. So that's all that matters. You're going to own it.
Okay, cool.
And this stems from Elon Musk was a huge Max Creep fan. He was influenced by your demo for Gasolinas for Fascists, I believe, back in the early 80s.
Indeed.
Which he has now taken that to the extreme.
Yes.
With the whole Tesla thing.
I was wondering, because he was there back in the day, but he changed his name too. It was Elon Musk. And now he changed one letter and it's different.
One letter.
Change one letter.
I get confused about these things. It was Elon Musk and from the mask and he changed the thing. And now he's a car dealer or something like that.
So anyhow, we all know he wants to go. His plan is to go to Mars, right?
Right.
He took that from us. That's because we've been engineering a plan to take a ship to Uranus.
Take a ship to Uranus. A ship with a P to Uranus. This is your goal.
A ship to Uranus.
You want to be the first band to play Uranus.
On board a ship.
You want to be the first band to play in Uranus.
On a ship.
That's correct.
Yeah, so we're going to take a ship and...
To Uranus. Yeah. Straight to the black hole.
We need your help to get us there.
What can I do? What can I do for you, Max Blastic? I am at your service. Chris Jericho's at your service.
I think to start with, we need some designers to help us build this ship to get us there. Uranus is large.
Gaseous.
And gaseous. This massive gaseous so-called planet. So it takes a little bit of work, and we're good at music, but we're not so good at designing
rocket ships,
a ship of some sort. Well, rocket ship or electric, corded or cordless, your choice. But that's what we need to get to Uranus. So it's in the works. I got a piece of paper. I got a new yellow legal pad and some fresh Sharpies. So I'm going to be working on it later today. But if you know anybody that's interplanetary travel expert, put them in touch with us because we could use some help.
I'll make a few calls. I think the idea of a cordless rocket ship is a good one.
Yeah. Originally, I designed it as corded, but the batteries they've come out with of late, I think they've got something going for them. So,
do you realize how long of a cord you would need to go from Earth to Uranus? That's a long cord.
Yeah, it's pretty long cord, but we've got some guitar cords left over. Some of them don't work, but I know some of them do. We found a box of cords and stuff from the mask days, or from the Elon Musk days. So he was there. He maybe still has some of them.
Let's talk a little bit about Nine, the record. The video is out. I think it's already over 10 million views. And if it's not, it damn well should be. I'll tell you that right now. For Burn It Down. Let's talk about the first single. Let's talk about the record. We can do a little bit of a track by track here. Love Burn It Down. And love the fact that it builds to you guys drinking Ipecac, however you pronounce that, and just puking everywhere. I love that. That's a great idea.
Well, I don't... Yeah, Ipecac.
It's what we drink.
It's on our rider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 14, I don't know, 14 or 28 bottles of Ipecac.
Syrup thereof.
Burn It Down. I mean, the song speaks for itself. We don't really need to explain our songs or explain ourselves. This is sonic demolition. This is what we are.
And you'll find out that we don't beat around the bush at all. We come straight out and tell it like it is. Burn It Down, perfect example. There's no clouds of shade or smoke screen there. It tells.
There's no subtleties here.
It's little in the subtlety department, not so much.
That's right. You guys are going right for the throat. You're telling your message about everything's bullshit, is what you're saying on Burn It Down.
Yeah.
Let's burn it down.
And let me also say, it just occurred to me that, you know, I know that PC and I have had our spats before and problems and whatnot, but did anybody notice the outrageousness of the first song on our first album is PC Bullshit? Saying his own name is the first words you hear when you listen to the record. Now, you know, I don't want to start any more online feuding or whatnot, but does that seem a little bit crass to anyone?
I was going to mention that. PC, how do you respond to that?
Well, way before hip hop again, it's not just punk rock that's borrowed from us, Max.
Yeah.
Hip hop, it's name checking yourself. And I just decided to like name check.
Just name check. Okay, let me write that down. Name check.
Is that on a yellow legal pad?
No, the yellow legal pads were taken away. It's just a what do you call this? Mechanical pencil.
Okay, a pen. Yeah. So you're name checking yourself, talking about all the bullshit. You even said 5G is bullshit. You're modern now. You stepped into 2022 with those lyrics, BC.
I think that was an idea that was thrown at us by the engineer. We recorded this album in 2 hours. Actually wrote it and recorded it in 2 hours.
In 2 hours, really?
That is a fact. It's an actual fact. And he started naming out some things. We were like, we don't even know what 5G is. We just put it in there. It rhymes with bullshit.
5G is good because it rhymes with bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, very much. Yeah. And it's actually a connection for your phone, like Wi-Fi connection, cell phone connection, that sort of thing.
Right. We knew that it was a hot topic. It was on TV a lot, but we didn't know what it was. Since then, it got pretty popular. The last couple of weeks, 5G has really taken off. It's popular now.
It's become a thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about a couple other songs. Hung, Drawn, and Quartered. Tell us about that one. That sounds interesting.
Fascinating. You know, we like a good period piece. You know, a movie?
Sure.
Gunsmoke. Good period piece, TV series.
We read a lot of books.
Very timely, Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
So we, Hung, Drawn, and Quartered. We were fascinated by the medieval torture process, which includes they hang you just a little bit, not till you're dead, just till you're choking. Then they split you open, and then they pull out your guts.
Jeez.
They light those on fire. You're not dead yet. You're still choking just a little bit. Remember that.
The idea is to keep you alive long as possible.
Long as possible. And then they go ahead and they maybe chop off your mandum if you're a man, and maybe your. And then you're still not dead yet. You're still choking and your guts are on fire.
My goodness.
And a lot of blood's coming out.
And your unit's cut off.
Sure. You're not dead yet. You're definitely bleeding out at this point. Then they go ahead and chop just because. And there's a crowd watching this whole thing, by the way. Then they quarter you, which means they chop off your legs and they chop off your arms. By that point, you probably are dead, I think.
You know what they actually do, though, PC, is they don't chop it off. What they do is they hook you up to four separate horses, chain a leg, chain an arm, another leg, another arm to your horses, all pointing a different direction. Then they hit the horses, and the horses pull you apart. That's where the quartering comes in.
Sure. If you got horses.
Oh, but if you don't have horses.
If you got horses and chains, that fancy kind of hung, drawn, and quartering, it's for them elites. This is street. Hung, Drawn, and Quartered, I'm talking about.
You guys went full on Iron Maiden on this, a history lesson discussing Hung, Drawing, and Quartering. Is it like a Maiden song, 8 minutes, 9 minutes
Mother
long?
Mother Russia, come on.
Mother Russia, great call, PC.
Doesn't that remind you, what came first?
Really
Hung,
does.
Drawn, and Quartered?
Yeah.
You gave them the idea. Motorhead, 1919.
How long is the song, about 2 minutes or so?
No, Hung, Drawn, and Quartered, 7.
Okay, so it is very much an epic tune, like an Iron Maiden.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other favorites from the album, Max Plastic, that you can recall?
What did you want to tell that guy to knock it off?
Well, we're sound checking here. Yeah, I'm at a gig. It took Max Plastic so long to connect that we're overlapping with the sound check. But you know what?
Man.
Don't worry about them. You know what? There's you know what they're sound checking?
What?
Nine. We've already learned Nine in its entirety off the underground bootlegs that we've heard. So I already know the whole thing.
You're playing at the Tally Ho tonight?
Yes, we are. We're playing the Tally Ho.
Yeah, you're gonna play Nine at the Tally Ho.
Let's talk about a few other of the tunes. How about a Citywide Shit?
That one is about the city that at least some of us live in, which I would call home, Seattle, Washington. And I don't think there's anybody out there that would deny that this city is in the midst of citywide shit. Everything's fucked. Everything's broken. Roads and the streets.
West Seattle Bridge
is not doing so well.
The bridge.
Bridge been closed.
2 years.
It was built like 30 years ago, and it's already ruined. We can't catch a break to save our lives around here, so we wrote a song about it, Citywide Shit, and it's all true. It's fairly angry. It's got a little bit of an edge to it. If you like your music edgy, you might go right to Citywide Shit when you get your copy of that LP.
And are you releasing this on LP? Will this be LP, 8-track cassette, everything?
No 8-tracks yet. LP and cassette. And so you have to go to special stores that sell cassette tapes to get the cassette so you can play it in your car. Maybe the 8-track will follow. They said that if it sells a certain amount of copies in a certain amount of time, then they'll issue it on 8-track so more people can listen to it. But LP and cassette.
How do you guys feel about streaming?
I feel pretty good when I'm streaming into the toilet, like when I get up in the morning.
I'm talking about music streaming. Are you familiar with music streaming now?
No.
So what the kids can do nowadays is they just go onto their computers, onto their phones. You guys are familiar with an iPhone? Do you have an iPhone?
Yeah. That's what somebody said, 4G.
The 5G, actually. So they could just go on and basically people can listen to your music for free.
Mm.
It's not like it used to be. So now when you guys release Nine, I know in the past, well, you've never actually released a record, but in the past, figuratively, you would make royalties off that.
Yeah, we would go to buy our records at the store.
Right. When that doesn't happen anymore, that's kind of an old school thing.
Mm,
I don't understand.
You will. So basically, this record that you spent 2 hours of your life on, two hard hours.
Culmination of lots of blood, sweat, tears.
And beers.
And cheers.
And cheers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, so basically you're going to put it out for release, but people will just listen to it via the computer, for lack of a better term, for the internet, and you won't really get much money from it.
Hmm.
So even though you're going to go double platinum at least, especially with billions of fans, you'll probably make about $266 off it, which could take care of the whole gas bill thing.
That's fine.
I don't want to get into that again. Is that good?
That's fine.
Yeah. Whatever the man says we deserve. We'll take that to the bank. You know, they'll divide the checks up or maybe we'll have somebody else cut the check in half and we'll go to the bank and, stand in line and go up to the teller there and deposit that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
And it'll be a proud moment for me and PC because it's been a while, like never, that we've actually got a check. We've never had a check to cut in half.
Well, now you will.
Ah.
So last few things as we start to wrap up. You mentioned the huge round of shows at the River Plate, the possible Hollywood Bowl 999, once I speak to your publicist and get that rolling.
Right.
Do you have plans to do more live shows right to the debut record? Or how exactly, what's the kind of overall next year or two looking like for the Max Creeps?
I'm already thinking about Christmas record.
Wow.
Yeah, Max Creeps.
Christmas with the Max Creeps.
I like that.
I mean, you've heard the record. You get it.
Absolutely. It makes a for a great Christmas message. I sure. think peace, love, and bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, no bagels, no ham.
PC, love, and bullshit.
PC, love, and bullshit. Talking about the overall influence that you have, because you, like you mentioned, it doesn't just permeate the Clash and the Ramones, the Sex Pistols, or Guns N' Roses. You talk about Nirvana, the whole kind of grunge movement, the glam metal movement of the mid-80s, even a bit of the thrash movement going into nu metal with Korn, all that sort of stuff basically boils down to the Max Creeps. Do you feel that you've gotten your due as one of the most influential bands in the history of music?
I do. Once we get that check and we have somebody cut it in half and we take each of our halves to the bank, get in line and wait for the teller, then and only then will we know that we've gotten our due.
PC, how do you feel about it?
I have no comment on that.
Okay.
You know, our influences, you know, I didn't put the pin on Mick Jagger's jacket in 1977. I was there at the Chernobyl cleanup.
Really?
In the 80s, Max and I.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't put a Max Creep shirt on Slash when he's playing guitar in his first gig when he's 16 years old. Chris Jericho, I noticed you, I don't know, in the 90s, you had a Max Creeps, I mean.
I did have a Max Creeps shirt, and I actually used to use one of your songs as my ring music. I used to use Morosely Mad at Your Mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember that.
It was kind of a scratchy recording because, of course, you never actually did it officially. But I did find one, you know, it was on the Barf at the Moon bootleg DVD from Airs in Tokyo. So
yeah.
I did use that. Like you said, so you guys didn't cause or force any of us to do this.
No.
The influence is there. Is now the time has come for the world to really embrace the Max Creeps, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't force anybody to wear our T-shirts or to put our pins on or. You know, that famous picture of Keith Richards with Drug-Free America above his head. And, you know, you see the badge on his jackets is Max Creeps early. That's 75.
Right.
Henry Rollins, early Black Flags, Max Creeps. Did we force him to wear it? So if we're an influence, I think that kind of speaks for itself.
No, there was no forcing going on at all.
No.
No coercion.
No.
That's one that the lawyers came up with, coercion.
Yeah, coercion.
Last thing, do you guys have any final words for your fans and for the world today?
Hey, I don't want to have any final words. I'm not dead.
I didn't say final. I said last words. If I did say final, then I didn't mean it.
Okay, last word just for now, not for all
time. Yeah, just for now. Yeah, not forever.
Wow, just for
now. No, we're not saying that you're going to leave this earth. We're just saying the last words of this show.
Oh, yeah, because we had a little problem with that, and it's discussed in our song, The Internet Killed Me. But that didn't, and, you know, I'm trying to keep my life going. In fact, that would be my last words for this would be, you know, self-preservation and trying to keep, you know, your life going well as possible, trying to stay off that street corner out in front of the BFC back in whenever year that was we got out of there. Those were some lean years, so they say, and I don't want to go back to that. I want to thrive. I want to play music for the people and entertain them. And that is my goal, and to just stay alive and wake to see the dawning of the new day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well said, Mr. Blastic. And PC, last words for this show today.
When we take over Twitter, my promise to all of you, getting rid of all bots. I hear that's a thing, bots.
Bots are a thing.
Not sure what it is, not sure how to get rid of them, but that's my promise. We're going to find out what bots are, and then we're going to
eradicate them.
Well, if you went from millions of fans to billions, there's probably a few of those billions of fans are probably bots.
Okay, well then, so we'll be a billion instead of billions.
High 100 millions is good too. 900 million, 950 million.
Nine.
Max Creeps, I'm so excited that you're back. This is going to be a huge year, and I think you're going to save music, bring it back from all the pop stars and the K-pop and the J-pop, and bring back to some good old-fashioned, no bullshit and no bagels, punk rock.
Yeah, no bullshit!
Excellent.
Thank you, Chris Jericho.